Next on BYUSN, AJ DiBonsa does it again. Steals the show at the Marriott Center with the first 30-point triple-double in BYU history. We discuss what impressed us the most about his historic performance. And in spite of DiBonsa's dominance, the Cougars had another weird first half against Eastern Washington. So will this be an issue for the Cougars in Big 12 play?
Hall of Fame quarterback and Cougar legend Steve Young shares his thoughts on BYU season and what it took to keep Kalani Sitake in Provo. And in the spirit of Christmas, what's the best gift BYU athletics delivered this year? We discuss that loaded question and more.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a winning Tuesday, December 23rd, just 2 days away from Christmas. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who deserves his own cavalcade whenever he goes anywhere in Provo, Jerem Jordan.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy birthday, Joseph Smith, by the way. BYU football arrived in Orlando for the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and they made him feel like they were right at home. They had, the first-class treatment there, and interviews and media, and the helmets on the police escort were with the stretch Y, and they had swig and everything. So good for the boys to enjoy enjoy this. Hans Olsen. All right, who made Y helmets for the police escort? That's awesome. So congrats to the boys who made it yesterday, and they will enjoy a cool week where they get ready for the game and practice. But Universal Studios and
Disney World.
I mean, pretty awesome. Christmas in Orlando, that'll be great.
Yes, indeed. It feels kind of like the temperature-wise, that way in Utah right now, which is weird.
I know. This is the one week of the year that I actually want snow.
Like we want it to be a little bit cold.
I want to be snowed in.
What is it, 60 degrees on December 23rd.
A little too nice for us here in Utah.
Balmy Provo. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
The first 30-point triple-double in BYU history.
There it is!
Look, man, that guy's a great player, and he just wants to win.
It's incredible to watch, incredible to be a part of.
AJ delivered like Santa.
Santa AJ, indeed. What's trending, presented by Intermountain Healthcare, the official medical provider for BYU athletics. What another night. I mean, another memorable night at the Marriott Center as DiBonsa.
Every night, baby.
Goes for the first 30-point triple-double in the 124-year history of BYU basketball in leading BYU to a 109-81 win over Eastern Washington. After the game, I spoke with AJ, his head coach.
You were the only one in the world to talk to him after the game.
Crazy moment. His teammate Richie Saunders as well on what they thought of the remarkable triple-double.
The smile says it all. First triple-double for any BYU player in 9 years. What type of effort did it take for you to get that tonight?
I mean, my teammates. I couldn't get any assists without my teammates hitting shots. Hey, watch out, yo. Without my teammates hitting shots, so, you know, I thank them for, you know, scoring baskets.
It's incredible. It's incredible to watch, incredible to be a part of, so I'm super happy for that dude.
Look, man, that guy's a great player, and cool thing about him is he just wants to win, you know. I'm sure, like, at some stage he'll be like, oh, that was cool, I had a triple-double with 30 points or whatever, but he just wants to make the right play, he wants to win, he's a great teammate, and that's what's most important for him.
Yesterday we asked the following question, Jerem, on this very program, as we were discussing every good thing that AJ has done, but we're going to ask it again today. So was that the best game that AJ DiBonsa has played?
We said no yesterday. We say yes today. A 30-point triple-double, that's never happened in BYU history. Let's walk through some of the superlatives here. So, as mentioned, first 30-point triple-double in BYU history, amazing. First triple-double by a BYU player since 2016. Yes, Kyle Collinsworth, one of his 12, right? Youngest player in NCAA history to record a 30-point triple-double. What? He's
wild.
18, turns January. In January, February, he turns 19. First 30-point triple-double by a freshman against a D1 opponent this century. Only D1 player this century to shoot 80% or better in a 30-point triple-double. First freshman in Big 12 history with a triple-double. And just, you know, amazing. Amazing. All these superlatives. Unbelievable. Also, his December. Justin Young put this out. 27.8 points per game, 8 rebounds, 5.7 assists, 2.3 steals, 66% field goals, 78% free throws. Currently is second in scoring in the NCAA. What an incredible run of games. And it's not like it was only the four bye games. There were other quality opponents in December as well, notably Clemson in that second half performance. What we're seeing is crazy. Then OptiStats tweeted this.
This is crazy.
Hey, AJ DiBonsa is the only Division I or NBA player in the last 30 seasons to have a calendar month minimum five games with 25 points per game or more, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 65% field goal, undefeated record. He did that in just the second month of his career. Nice picture by them of you talking to AJ. I like that one. Yes, that was his greatest performance. I dare say it's going to be hard to top that one. I mean, how do you top it? Do you have a 40-point triple-double?
How do you top 33, 10, and 10?
And it has little to do with Eastern Washington. It's more about just dominating. And it wasn't like he got 33 on 28 shots, and he went to the line 22 times. This guy is so efficient. He's a great teammate. He's making great plays. He's dunking on fools still. We had a few amazing dunks. I mean, it was a great night. And we just every night is must-see TV with him. Every game. It doesn't matter who you're playing. He's dunking left-handed. Yegor's probably in Brooklyn going, yeah, left-handed's cool.
Another crazy follow dunk.
Just every night, no matter who BYU's playing, is must-see TV. And now we're done with non-con. Now it's P.J. Haggerty versus A.J. DiBonsa in Kansas State on January 3rd. I can't wait for Big 12 play.
I only have one issue with what A.J. has done in December. He committed a foul last night.
That's freaking.
What's up with that?
One whole foul in December.
One foul.
Kevin, I love what Kevin said.
Five games.
Oh, you got to be a little more aggressive. That was funny.
I think what I love most about AJ's game is he just always seems to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. Does anything ever feel forced with AJ?
No.
This is the tendency of many up-and-coming stars to, well, I'm going to get mine, and I'm going to go seek my shot. And sometimes that leads to just forcing up a shot and making a bad decision. He doesn't make bad decisions. We're still kind of waiting for that during this remarkable run in December. Like, what is he doing that is not super good right now to help his team win? And Kevin Young keeps defaulting to that. As good as he is, I just love how much he wants to win. And we asked Kevin Young before the game in our conversation that we have with the coach when we do the broadcast, what has surprised you about AJ? And the lead-in was, is he better than you thought he would be? And Kevin said, not exactly. I was obviously really high on him. I always felt like he could be incredibly special. What did surprise me is he's an even better person and teammate than I anticipated. We thought he would be a good teammate, and we thought he was a good kid. He's far surpassed that. Where do you find this combination? You don't.
Very rare.
He is a unicorn, truly one of one.
Yep. Yeah, he's crazy special in his skill and who he is as a person and sort of his upbringing and his support group. His parents have done a great job with him, his siblings as well. So it's an amazing fit. And, you know, this doesn't happen without Kevin Young being here. And it doesn't happen without NIL either. And it's been an incredible fit. I love that AJ was kind of a 19 points a game guy a couple of weeks ago. He has cranked it up to where he's consistently to the high 20s into the 30s now. That's back-to-back 30-point performances as a freshman. You know, there have only been three other freshmen that have scored 30-plus twice. The next time he does 30, he's the first BYU freshman to ever go 30-plus twice. And that's crazy, right? Danny Ainge, Mikkeli Wesley, you know, among that group. And it's Nick Emery. It's tough to... It's tough to do, and AJ's making it look easy. And now, obviously, the schedule ramps up from the last four bye games to Big 12 play. But AJ has shown that he is ready for whatever the opponent gives him, whether it be UConn, Clemson, Wisconsin. He's ready for that situation, and he's going to be the number one or number two pick. I would be surprised. At this point, he should be number one.
Oh, there's no debate. Like, what's the debate right now?
There are people still saying Cam Boozer is number one.
No.
Whatever. We'll get to the draft later, you know, in June, and it will be decided there. But AJ is the best player in America, and it's at BYU. And for the rest of his career, Spence, the 6'9 forward from BYU, AJ DiBonsa, that's how he'll be introduced in the NBA. That's going to be cool. That's going to be really special.
All of these pictures with him soaring through the air at the Marriott Center wearing a BYU uniform, it never gets old. I can't believe that this is happening night in and night out at the Marriott Center. And what BYU just did, they played, four games in an 11 or 12 days span?
11 days,
4 and 11.
12-day break.
You could sense that they were all feeling a little bit of fatigue because of how much preparation goes into each game and opponent, and they're going through finals, and that's the thing that we don't often talk about. It. This is a stressful time and stressful set of weeks for the coaches and the players to just get through, and Kevin Young was a little frustrated last night at times with his team overall, but definitely not frustrated with what AJ is doing. And he also declared, to me, there's no debate. Like, I'm an NBA guy. I know what NBA talent is. He's the clear number one pick right now. I don't understand how anybody thinks that he is not the number one guy. He showed me something a little bit new last night in a specific sequence where he takes that rebound in the second half. And then with that long stride and I will not be denied getting to the hoop and went and dunked it. It was like a more controlled version of Russell Westbrook almost. Like that element of his game as well. A lot of people compare him to Tracy McGrady and Kevin Durant. I don't see Kevin Durant doing what AJ did there from one end of the floor to the next.
It's more like a Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It is.
Like long stride all the way. No one can really get in front of me.
You're not going to stop me. It is absolute dominance and special. And you just can't take your eyes off the floor whenever he is there and playing, or you will probably miss something.
There could be a miss that he hammer dunks over a guy like we saw against Haviland Christian. I mean, he nearly had one last night where he rose up and the ball didn't bounce right to him, but he hung on the rim and everyone's like, oh, and he didn't even touch the ball. I mean, he's must-see TV, and people are tuning in for this nationally, and they want to see him play. And My Twitter feed and your Twitter feed is full of BYU stuff, but it's everyone else commenting on AJ nationally as well. He's on SportsCenter after every game now doing something. Like, it's incredible, and we don't take it for granted. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, but what will AJ and BYU do when they face a real schedule, Jerem? Because they haven't played a good schedule this non-conference?
Davis doubled down on that this morning. I don't know what you want, dude. Like, do you want 1A more? And he's dismissing the North Carolina exhibition game, which, if you watch, both teams took it seriously like it was an NCAA.
And how about the freakout after the exhibition against Nebraska? Nebraska's really good. Yeah. And BYU played them to a 2-point game at Nebraska in the first exhibition?
BYU rested its starters at the end. Like, they didn't play that like a normal game.
BYU just lost to a team that was picked 14th in the Big Ten. Nebraska is what? Aren't they a top 14 team in America right now or something?
Are they ranked
close
that?
Close to that? I think they're ranked right now. So it's funny wild. How these things have come together with Nebraska.
They're 13. And BYU didn't play it like a normal game. North Carolina, they did. Oh. 12-0.
Yeah, Fred Hoiberg.
But what's their schedule? West Georgia, Winthrop.
What do you want?
SJ Upstate.
Because BYU hasn't played Arizona's schedule, huh?
Nebraska beat Wisconsin by 30, by the way.
And BYU.
They just beat Illinois.
Destroyed Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Outside of AJ's incredible performance, what was another weird first half for BYU? Gave up 81, 48 in the first half was the most any team had scored all year. Think about it. Eastern Washington scores more than UConn and Clemson and Wisconsin against BYU. Yeah,
what in the world?
To now 2-11 Eastern Washington. Second most BYU points that BYU's allowed all year. Do you think this will be an issue in Big 12 play? Is there a lingering effect in league play, or does it suddenly change for some reason?
There's enough of a trend that I'm inclined to think that we're going to see this several more times during the season. But guess what? If you win the games, whatever. Just try and rectify. I know that they're trying to rectify this and manufacture the proper energy and come out with intention and to play with a lot of energy out of the gate. I don't think it's a lack of energy. Kevin Young said last night that it was just kind of like they lost detail. And he said it was a little lazy.
At halftime, what we could hear from your microphone, he said, we don't know what we're doing. He was so mad, dude. He short answered you twice.
I've never seen him that upset after a half of basketball.
He was very bugged.
He was very frustrated.
Yeah.
And I think it was because he expects his team to be locked in and dialed in and sharp. And he's like,
yeah.
I know it's the end of this fourth game in 11 days and we're all feeling it a little bit, but I challenge him like, hey, finish, be sharp. Be sharp in the details. And they just weren't.
Eastern Washington made 8 threes, Spence.
Lazy. And I know that sometimes teams will get on a heater and make some shots. Eastern Washington made more shots than I expected them to make, but he said it's because we're not in the right places and we're not detailed in what we need to do defensively. So, yeah, it was frustrating. But again, second half, BYU showed up, and here we go again. Just as long as you win the games, it's hard to complain. But can BYU afford to do that against an Iowa State or a Houston Arizona?
I mean, most of the Big 12 teams.
Texas Tech, Kansas, like, you probably aren't going to be able to get away with it.
Yeah, against
like
Utah,
you
probably you could, but everybody else.
There are five or six teams in the Big 12. You can probably get through that. And there will be an occasion where BYU does get down against a good team, and they come back and they win that game like they did against Clemson, or they make a ferocious push that like they did against UConn. Ended up losing that game, their only loss. But, yeah, there's a trend there, so I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm concerned. First half BYU is an unranked basketball team. Second half BYU might be the best team in the country.
Maybe.
I mean, the way that BYU plays in the second half is crazy. It's concerning. You need to start better. I do believe, though, that BYU will fix this and they will rise to the level of their competition more. They didn't cover the last couple of games. They won convincingly, but they didn't cover. Whatever. You're battling all sorts of things right now. You're still trying to figure out what the bench is looking like. You just added a new piece, which we'll talk about in a second, in the front court. There's no evidence for this. Maybe it's just a hope, Spence, that BYU will figure it out, and they're not going to go down 20 to somebody and have this crazy comeback. You know, the hope is they're not down 20 in any game in Big 12 play. They were twice in non-conference play, which is wild, to UConn and Clemson specifically. So we don't really have evidence that it's just going to be fixed, but it's a hope, and I believe in Big 12 play that they'll be dialed in a little more, because when they look across the way, they'll go, oh, that team's good, we got to bring it. They didn't, though, against UConn and Clemson, and they almost won both, which was great. So we'll see how it goes, but it is a concern.
To me, there is still value and some power in a team being able to adjust and discuss and make the appropriate changes on the floor to then make a push in the second half. So
could that be at the 12-minute mark of the first half?
That's what Kevin Young is saying. He has said, and he's been critical of himself, to the point where I almost think it's a little unfair to himself. But he said, I need to do a better job of making first half adjustments and not making sure that everything is clear at halftime. And he tried to do that yesterday. At the under four timeout, he said, I fix this now. I don't want to have to fix this in the halftime locker room. You still have 3.5 minutes to try and go out and fix it now. Like, let's get that momentum going so that there's not as big of a change required in the halftime locker room. So he said, I and the staff, we need to do a better job making first half adjustments. Because when BYU does play a good first half, it's lights out. See the Wisconsin game. I know it's been not as often as what we're talking about in this trend of second half, but it's not like they haven't ever played a good first half. When they do play a good first half, it's magic.
Yeah.
Then you're blowing teams out.
And Abdullah Ahmed, by the way, 5 rebounds, 2 offensive rebounds, a block, 1 point in 9 minutes. Nice to see him out there.
3-minute stints. They wanted to make sure that he got a feel for the game a little bit. They're trying to get him in shape. He's had all of 1.5 practices with the team.
We actually saw him at a restaurant after the game. Went to the same spot.
Yes.
It's good to see him.
All right. Our question of the day. In the spirit of Christmas, what's the best gift BYU Athletics has delivered to you this year? Many of you may have answers that center around A.J. DeBonsa. Jerem, take the first response.
My answer is A.J. Dave Hackett. After the QB uncertainty during the summer, the best gift has been an 11-win season in football with a chance for another win to make it 12. An appearance in the Big 12 title game was icing on the cake. Couldn't be more proud to be a Cougar fan. Go Cougs! That's great.
At Toronto_Tom. Guessing you're in Toronto. 3 freshman stars. Bear, A.J., and Jane. Speaking of Bear Bachmeier, A.J. DeBonsa, and Jane Hedengren of women's cross country.
It was fun to watch Suli as a freshman. It was sad to see her go to SMU.
Sure.
Yeah. She was a great freshman.
Yeah, we do need to give credit. Suli was still at BYU while she was a freshman.
Second team All-American.
She was fantastic.
Single tier.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Your best Christmas present from BYU Athletics this year.
Join us Saturday for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Here's the broadcast schedule. 1:30 Eastern Time, BYU Sports Nation Game Day. Spence live from Orlando. Cougar pregame live as well on BYU Radio. Games on ABC and BYU Radio at 3:30 Eastern. Post game on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, how about this for a pre-Christmas gift? Our conversation with Hall of Fame quarterback and BYU legend Steve Young.
Hey.
As he discusses BYU's 11-2 season, the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and what it meant to keep Kalani Sitake.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
Georgia Tech has been vulnerable on the ground. BYU wants to pound the ball.
The People's National Championship.
It's a great opportunity to go into the offseason with a great win over a team that's legitimately outstanding and legitimately respected.
It's so exciting. So much fun to be a part of.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Yesterday, Jerem Jordan and I had a chance to talk with the Pro Football Hall of Famer, NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and Cougar legend Steve Young about BYU football in its entirety during the 2025 season and what it meant to keep Kalani Sitake as the Cougars head into the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Here's Steve Young again on BYU Sports Nation. Steve, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and maybe Merry first Christmas. And foremost, are you a Pop-Tart guy? And if so, what's your favorite flavor?
Pop-Tart. Back in the day, you know, I've been... Pop-Tart's not going to want to hear this, but they have not raised their game on the nutritional level that is in my home today with my wife. So, but Pop-Tarts, when I was growing up, big time. They need to go no high fructose corn syrup. Get rid of that and we'll be good.
Cane sugar, maybe throw in a little protein powder.
Get a little picky here. No. Just a Pop-Tart.
Natural coloring. I don't know.
No kale in these Pop-Tarts, Steve.
Would be it's just a raspberry, strawberry kind of thing. That'd be good.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, Steve. That's all we wanted to know.
Thanks. Good to be with you
good
guys.
Good to be with you. Thanks. BYU Georgia Tech. This is one of the best non-playoff games. Certainly, we wish BYU was in the playoff. But the matchup with another ranked team in a bowl game that has some fun but also has some prestige. What do you make of the matchup with Georgia Tech?
So much emotion in that question. I think I'm going to focus on the fact that it's an opportunity to speak again to a national audience that we've done all year. Really, for 40 years, we've been pecking away at this speaking to the national audience. But now with the Big 12, there's a megaphone. And as we do it with Kalani in the last couple of years, it's like exponentially more. And you can see, we're not going to get into the playoff unless we break the door down. Like, and people can go, oh, they're biased against this, biased against. Yeah. Yes. Like, stipulate to it. Own it. Like, they are. Whether it's geography, whether it's historical significance, whatever. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. And so, you know, we're going to have to live with the fact that we're going to have to bust the door down. But it's amazing. And so, Georgia Tech game, a Georgia Tech team that people respect, it's going to be another sign of who we are. And I think we've taken advantage of almost every opportunity over the last few years, and I'm pumped about that.
Steve, we feel like there's still an outside shot for BYU to end up as a postseason top 10 team. And it hasn't happened often. In fact, it's only happened three times ever. You were the quarterback of one of those teams in 83 that finished number 7. Of course, national championship year finishes number 1. And 96 rather finished number 5. BYU would have to jump 2 spots. We think that they could supplant Notre Dame because Notre Dame opted out. But do you feel like there's anything BYU can do to maybe jump into the top 10 and push out a team that lost in the first round of the playoff like Texas A&M or Oklahoma?
Well, it's gotten so weird as far as, you know, the committee is now infecting all of us by style points. And how do they look? How would they fare against, theoretically, against a team like X by Y, you know? And it gets us in all these impractical kind of conversations, kind of bar fight conversations. And so I think, again, because we have to live in that world and we have to live in that reality, dominating Georgia Tech would be pretty sweet. And I think could do some real good things here at the end of the year. Like they were looking for against Texas Tech. Like, well, they got done. You know, it's like it's all style points. So style points this week are going to be huge.
It's a matchup of two quarterbacks that are both dual threat guys. You were a massive dual threat guy as well. What do you make of Haynes King versus Bear Bachmeier?
Well, he's a guy that's been grizzled. Like, he's been around. Like, he's kind of a guy that maybe want to stay in college, just keep getting paid. It's a great matchup. And Bear is Bear, man. I don't know what to say about that kid. Just I'm just amazed at his natural, genetic, heavenly blessed presence, talent for the quarterback position. It doesn't mean that he can do everything at all times and he's the best at anything right now, but just as a natural guy to get in the huddle, get guys, you know, and understand 22 people and spatial relationships and don't get overwhelmed by it. There's not a play that I can remember this whole season. I felt like, oh, his mind was racing. He didn't know what he was doing. Maybe the one interception early. Remember, it was at home early when he was a screen pass and he just, you could tell he got lost in it. And that might be the only play I ever felt like he got lost. Like everything else was pretty intentional and pretty amazing. So the matchup to me is, I want more Bear. Like, I can't wait to see Bear play and see what he can do. Cause it's fun to see. And, but I think it's going to be a great matchup because you got a good quarterback on the side. That's really good.
Steve, how would you encapsulate what BYU accomplished this season? 1 year removed from going 11-2 and winning the Alamo Bowl. And then they're now in the Big 12 championship game. Yeah. You get boat raced essentially by Texas Tech again, but when you step back and look at the whole season, what do you see?
I see what I said, you have to knock the door down to get the respect that we want. We're not gonna tiptoe our way to it. But as we wait for that breaking down the door, we are welcome on the porch. Like, I don't know how to put it, my analogy is gonna go south on here.
But
we
are
you know, we are welcome on the porch now. Like, we are in the mix. We are in, you know, when people talk about us, and it's kind of like Boise State was for a little while in the national mindset. But I think this is where we need to just transition. We're ready to transition. We've shown we can. We're going to be good for a long time. And we're going to, you know, and I the Boise State analogy was a bad one, but the porch one was a good one. So we'll stay with the porch one. but I feel like in some ways we've done incredible things, infrastructure, coaching, recruiting, getting better and better, getting Ryder Ryan's a big, huge five-star offered millions and millions and millions of dollars to go somewhere else and kind of like, no, I'm going to go prove it at BYU. Like, there's just so much about what's happening on campus and the student body, what happened at the Utah game. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but like, I don't know if you guys we talked a little bit about it, but it still resonates. The Portnoys and the RG3s and the guys that I know that just were like blown away at who BYU is, the welcome mat, the feeling they had, the way that the student body, you know, welcomed them. Like, there was like this sense that like, we're here, we love you, come in, check us out, and now we're going to dominate. And I couldn't be more excited. And I don't remember what the original question was, but I just couldn't be more excited than where we are. We got things to do. We're not there yet, but we're on the porch and we're in the mix, and I love it. So, and then we got Notre Dame next year. Whew. Like, that's kind of ironic. but that's awesome, too. I think, you know, us saying we have Notre Dame next year feels different than it felt 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It feels like, yeah. Like, all of us thought a little bit about when if we got in the playoffs that we could, if we beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship, do we get a bye? And if we get a bye, we host, or, you know, Ohio State, or like, you know what I mean? And like, so we start thinking about that. That's how we roll kind of way. That's where we are, is that playing Notre Dame next year is not like, oh my gosh, Notre Dame. No, it's like, no, lock them, you know, great. Love it. Bring them on. It'll be awesome. So like, that's the difference, I guess, semantically.
I loved what you said on the Dan Patrick show when he asked you about Kalani Sitake and Penn State and BYU and all that. You said, quote, they're going to have to rip him from our bloody hands. And BYU kept Kalani. What did that move mean for the future of Cougar Athletics to retain Kalani Sitake?
Look, Kalani's unique and he's all that. And we're at a place where where we're going, how we're getting there, who we represent, how we represent, how he represents us. There's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful symbiotic relationship. And when you get something like that, you don't want it to go away. And so, unfortunately, Kalani's agent is my longtime agent, Dave Dunn, for the last 30 years. And so it became very personal, and Dave in the middle of it, and oh, yeah, yay. And really, at the end of the day, Penn State came with everything, guns blazing. And there's no way that we could fully match or run like we, but we could do other things. We could do things. And it was really about athleticism, of doing things that resonated with Kalani to make him feel like, this resonates with me. This is my home, and I'm going to be here for the rest of my career, kind of thing. And I think that that's how we did it. And I give Brian credit, Keith Vorkink credit, President Shane, people in Salt Lake. Everybody just realized that we're in the Big 12. And I think two things that I think that are mantras now that I think are making the huge difference. One, that we're in the Big 12 and we got to compete. So that's something that tells everyone that's involved that we need to answer that bell. And then the second thing is, we'll never make the market, but we will be competitive as far as all the other aspects of pay and everything else. Like, we're not going to make the market, but we're going to be in the mix. And I think that that's a heck of a thing. That's kind of what we got with Ryder Lyons. That's what we got with Kalani. That's what we got with, like, we're what basketball's doing, you know? So we've set, things are different. We need to grow into those shoes. We're players, and we mean it. And we're in for the long haul. And BYU Athletics represents all of that. And BYU Athletic Department in football leads the way. They're kings. They know it. Everybody now is on board and ready to go. And Kalani, I think it's just amazing. It's awesome because we got attacked. We got attacked hard. Oh man, did we get attacked? Oh,
yeah. The nuke was in the air. Threat was imminent. You survived.
Because it was all that. It was all the stuff that, you know, it's like Oregon or, you know, it's Alabama or whoever else. But think about that. We resonated in our own unique way, an answer that could be authentically taken in and go, I want that instead of that. That's an amazing thing that happened. And that's something that's a first time ever that's happened, right? Where, you know, so take it all in for the beautiful, wonderful collective, that's the wrong word, because that's a collection of people that you know, kind of help that through. And it's amazing. I can't say enough about it because I think it was vital for our consistency and our messaging and who we are and, you know, and now off we go. Sorry to keep chirping so much.
We are here for it. Steve Young is on BYU Sports Nation. Speaking of the future, when you assess star players that are in the NIL front and have the opportunity maybe to go to the NFL or come back and still be paid at BYU and take on this new era, a guy like LJ Martin, Isaiah Glasker's in that mix. There are some others, but what's your take on those guys deciphering whether or not to go to the NFL as a mid to late round projected pick or come back to BYU?
It's a real thing. And I don't remember who it was. Was it Quinn Ewers? Yeah, it was a kid who started yesterday for the Dolphins. Didn't he? Didn't Notre Dame want to pay him like $8 million? And he said, no, I'm going to go to the NFL and take half or less. Look, if money is the only thing that matters, then I think that you'd probably want to stay in college, because I think you probably would be more consistently, you know, more surely paid in a really weird way. But because money's not the only thing, then it becomes, you know, how you look at the world. Do you feel like I got to get to the NFL? It's where I need to prove myself. My tendency to think about it is, that's not the way BYU thinks about it, is money first. And that's not the way that you want LJ to think about it, money first. But you got to think about how difficult it is to make a statement in the NFL. And if you, again, it's health, right? You want to get the insurance on this kind of stuff so that you're not taking an incredible risk. But if you can get the insurance on it, to come back at BYU and highlight again all that you are as a year more mature and smarter and better. There is something about making a case that it's you're better prepared for the NFL, and you know, people get more used to you being such a good player. LJ is going to be a great player. Glasgow's a great player. And I think especially with Glasgow, I'd love to see him get a little, you know, like he's rangy. I love him. He reminds me of like 10 other guys that I played with that are super awesome. I feel like both of them, if they had the insurance and get, and obviously got paid well, like come back. Like, I think you can make the difference for a national championship run. I think that's where we are today. We got to just start saying that, speaking that into the ether, that that's who we are, and we're going to make a championship run, and I want to be part of it. And hopefully we can be unique enough in our offering and the uniqueness of what we're talking about as far as being a part of the BYU kind of cool stuff that we got going on, that I got that's a long way, again, of saying – like I think there's a real case to stay, and a real financial and development, and like, let's go do something really cool. We did something cool this year, but wasn't enough. Let's go do something even more cool. So yeah, and I'm not trying to sell it. I'm trying to think, if I was their dad, what would I say? You know, that's kind of how I would talk about it.
Steve, I've got one final question before we wrap this up, and that centers in on Bear Bachmeier. Where do you feel like he can and will take the biggest jump as a quarterback after a remarkable true freshman season?
We all saw what he's really good at. The RPOs, running the football, he's just unique. Like I love what he does. I love so much about him. But to become a real sophisticated passer where you say to yourself, I'm going to, you know, we're down by 20 and I'm, you know, let me unleash now. He has the arm to do it, but it's got to develop the sophistication kind of in the pocket. He's always going to move around. Like I always moved around, but I also had to develop that sophistication in the pocket. It doesn't always happen. Even in college, it doesn't really, you know, happen as much as you need to, but every year he's got to get significantly better at carrying the team with his arm and forcing defenses to kind of capitulate to that, because then LJ looks better. His own running is better. The play action's better. Like the threat, again, against the best teams, that Bear Bachmeier is going to come out and throw it all over you. It needs to develop. And I think that would be the next thing I would say for him. And that's nothing small, right? That's a big, huge thing.
Next time we're going to have you on to break down track and field with Summer. Is that okay?
I love it. Like, you know, I'll overtalk that too. So, yeah, bring me on.
We love that. He is a proponent of a more healthy Pop-Tart, the great Steve Young, bringing it.
It ain't happening.
Sports Nation.
The organic Pop-Tart.
Can't wait for it on shelves. Steve, great to talk to you.
Thanks,
brother.
Steve.
Be well and happy holidays.
There's a market for it. Organic Pop-Tarts.
Steve's one of one, man. I love Steve.
BYU Sports Nation will be live on Friday, December 26th, day after Christmas, for the Pop-Tarts Bowl preview special as we break down everything you need to know heading into BYU Georgia Tech. The Pop-Tarts Bowl Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, both BYU men's and women's basketball teams getting recognition in the AP poll. That and more on your Tuesday headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines. Sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
In case you missed it, welcome. A.J. DuBonta made history at the Merit Center last night. First 30-point triple-double in program history. 33 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. Shot 11 of 13 from the field. Helped BYU to a 109-81 win over Eastern Washington. BYU finishes non-conference play at 12-1. A.J. DuBonta also named to the Big 12 starting five for his performances last week.
How about this? Both BYU men's and women's basketball receive recognition in this week's AP polls. Yeah, the men's team has been in for a while. They're holding steady at number 10 for a third consecutive week. The women's team gets one vote for the AP poll. One voter put them at number 25.
Okay.
It's the first time they've received any type of vote since the 2021-2022 season under the great Jeff Judkins. BYU currently one of 9 Big 12 women's basketball teams ranked in the top 50 of the net. That's tied for most among any conference in women's hoops. They're already in it. They played one game. TCU next.
BYU football arrived in Orlando yesterday to begin festivities ahead of Saturday's Pop-Tarts Bowl against Georgia Tech. Today, both teams will participate in a joint service activity before splitting for practice and additional team activities later this evening. Saturday's game kicks off at 3:30 Eastern on ABC and BYU Radio. Pre-game coverage at 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Yesterday, the Big 12 Conference announcing its football media days will return to the Star, the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas. Practice facility for the Dallas Cowboys. It'll happen over the next two seasons. The 2026 version of media days are set for Tuesday, July 7th and Wednesday, July 8th.
Former BYU wide receiver Puka Nacua named to the Pro Bowl this morning for the second time in his career. He's second in the NFL in receiving yards with a career-best 1,592 yards, third in receptions with 145 to go along with 9 total touchdowns.
And former Cougar basketball standout Yoeli Childs scored a professional career-high 41 points,
woo!
14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals for the Kobe Storks in a 94-74 win over the Kumamoto Vorders in the Japanese B2 League. Congratulations to Yoeli.
I have so many questions.
After the break, with the announcement that BYU and Notre Dame will meet again on the gridiron, naturally, we take a look back at some of the best BYU plays against the Irish Top 5 Tuesday. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Run, Cody!
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU and Notre Dame agree. The Fighting Irish are coming to Provo, finally.
First time since 04. You don't turn down an opportunity to play Notre Dame. Kalani Sitake's block for Jamal Willis, scoring and winning in 94. South Bend, when he was a player. It's great, man.
Oh, the Gatorade bath in South Bend. Fantastic images from 1994 and an unforgettable BYU win. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Naturally, with the announcement that BYU and Notre Dame are going to play one game in Provo in 2026, a return trip to South Bend in 2027, we thought Top 5 Tuesday should look back for the greatest BYU plays against the Irish.
Let's go. Number 5, Chad Lewis, 1994, blocks a field goal in South Bend. The walk-on, former walk-on,
get up,
high
C.
jumper
Lou.
From Orem High, blocks the field goal. BYU was trailing 14-13 in the third. 39-yard attempt. Nope! Chad Lewis blocks it.
Talk to the hand. Number 4, Cody Epps. Not one, but 2 TDs against Notre Dame in Las Vegas in 2022. Oh, the arrow route.
Oh,
so gorgeous.
Whip.
The second touchdown came in the third quarter on a 53-yard pass from Jaron Hall. Epps finished the game with 4 catches for 100 yards and those 2 touchdowns.
That in the Arkansas game, Cody was unbelievable. Number 3, Austin Colley. As a freshman, 42-yard touchdown in 2004. Season opener, BYU leading 13-3 in the third. Matt Barry to Austin Colley. BYU won that 20-17. The Cougars' last win over the year.
It was beautiful. I was on the front row, and I got put in a BYU book because I was on the front row in that game.
Nice, dude.
We're in an ugly,
and that was the peak
royal
of your career.
Blue sweater. I peaked in that moment.
Yep. Nothing after that mattered.
Let's go. Freshman Austin Colley. Number 2, Jamal Willis. Speaking of 2 touchdown games, how about his in 1994?
Tuck the ball, Jamal.
19-yard catch from John Walsh to give BYU a 13-7 lead, and then the leap over the pile. Kalani Sitake leading the way on the block. BYU went for 2, got it, to Hemahe Muli. Cougars win 21-14. First ever win over the Irish, one of Lavelle's most memorable victories.
I remember watching that as a kid on NBC. That was
outstanding.
Sweet. And number 1, Danny Ainge basketball, Sweet 16, to beat Notre Dame over Orlando Orange with 2 seconds to go. BYU the 6th seed, Notre Dame the 3 seed, Danny Ainge. One of the greatest buckets in NCAA history, March Madness. Of course, we had to bust that one out. Digger Phelps, the coach. So many NBA players in that.
That's hilarious.
BYU to the Elite Eight.
All football, but come on. Yeah,
that's the most
iconic surprise
BYU
you
Notre
number
Dame
one.
For BYU. Come on.
By the way, speaking of basketball, we're feeling like giving some extra Christmas spirit this year.
Yeah, of course.
So why not roll out a second Top 5
oh!
Tuesday? Yeah.
We've never done this.
And look at the top five triple doubles for BYU basketball.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Number five, Fred Roberts versus Utah, 1981. This was Danny Ainge's senior night, 21-10.
Come on.
10. In a big win over the Utes. That was like a top 15 matchup. To this day, Spencer, that's the most attended game in the Marriott Center.
Fred Roberts is smiling somewhere. He's probably not sure why.
We would have showed you video if we had it.
At number four, Kyle Collinsworth against Loyola Marymount in 2015. Mr. Triple-Double had 12 of them in his career. And 23 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. This was the fifth triple-double of the season for Collinsworth. BYU won 87-68 at Gersten Pavilion in Los Angeles.
I think I was at that game.
Nice.
Number three, Kyle Collinsworth again against Belmont, 2015. 26-10-10, seventh career triple-double at the time, which broke the NCAA record. He finished with 12. Still the NCAA record. BYU won 95-81.
Number two, more Danny Ainge against Long Beach State in 1977. Look at these numbers. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists. Second career game as a freshman, Jerem. Are you kidding me?
No.
Third most assists in triple-double BYU history. BYU wins by 9 in Provo.
And the number one triple-double we're seeing in BYU history was last night. AJ DeMonte, the first 30-point triple-double. We had 33, 10, and 10. First triple-double since 2016 with Kyle Collinsworth. The youngest player in NCAA history to record a 30-point triple-double. And the only player this century to shoot 80% in a 30-point triple-double. He becomes the seventh BYU Cougar to get a triple-double ever. Amazing.
A top five Tuesday times two. Yeah, fitting for
that. That was fun.
Season.
So it was the top 10, essentially.
Good vibes right now.
If you miss any interviews, trending topics, any other BYU Sports Nation content, AJ highlights, you just want to see it. Make sure you subscribe to the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. You can watch it on demand anytime.
Speaking of gifts, what is the best gift BYU Athletics has delivered to you this year? One of you said, you ask this question every year and it doesn't get any easier. More responses to that question of the day after this on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
For our Pop-Tarts Bowl preview special with Steve Young, if you watched it earlier, that's great. If not, you'll see it again Friday. We'll preview the BYU-Georgia Tech game Friday noon Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Welcome back with our question of the day. In the spirit of Christmas, what's the best gift BYU Athletics has delivered to you this year? At Jody Allen responds, Jerem, keeping Kalani with us indefinitely. Huge blessing to the football program and all of BYU athletics in general.
It's a great answer because it's one that lasts a long time. We're going to enjoy this 1 year with AJ, right? We hope it's the next 3-4 years with Bear Bachmeyer and Cougar football continues. But Kalani, he's here for the long haul, baby.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Nice.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. Jerem, you take this one.
Cosmo Kramer at BYU. Nice. It's been such a fun ride with another 11-win season in football and a run to the Sweet 16 in basketball, retaining Kalani and KY, the emergence of stars with serious cachet with AJ and Bear, but I think I'm most grateful for reconnecting with my childhood love of tater tots. We feel like we helped with that. Sean Farnham helped with that. So the tater tot king, Richie Saunders.
Yeah, that was another gift that continues to give. Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Couple of them. AJ DeBonta, obviously, for the amazing triple-double. But we do want to give a special Rise and Shoutout to a member of our crew who is retiring after 40 years in the business, 21 years at BYU, including at the BYU Broadcasting the last 9 years, and in the comms department.
Let's go, Dale!
When you and I were students, Dale Green taught us how to shoot and edit and do this job. We've been on numerous road trips with Dale. He's been behind the scenes forever. He retires today after an incredible career. Dale, we love you. We're going to miss you. Enjoy retirement. You've been awesome.
He's unbelievable, and I owe so much of what I do and how I think and what goes into a good story and production to him and the initial introductory courses that he gave to us. I'm already trying to convince him to come back and work as a freelancer on occasion. Like, you're retired, but not really, right?
We're going to miss you, and you're going to miss it, Dale.
Love it. Yep. Our thanks to today's guest, Steve Young.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. Merry Christmas, everybody.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Kale Laluhi. We'll see you Friday for our Pop-Tarts Bowl preview special. Beat Georgia Tech. Merry Christmas. Go Cougs.